You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Welcome to a special edition of The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson, along here with Tolliver. Hey, Tolliver.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. And, you know, as we go to air live, it is even later than usual. So I'm hoping that any callers that decide to call in tonight haven't had too much to drink as they listen to the President of the United States.
I've actually been drinking black coffee all night, so I'm like ready to rock.
You know? All right. You know, the hard part about drinking coffee late at night, as I know doing a show in the evening, is that it's hard to sleep. So we'll hopefully I'm giving you good vibes for that. But we are not going to parse the president's words this hour. We're going to leave that to others because the goal of The Middle is to elevate your voices. So we are asking this hour, what is your state of the union? Do you feel like the country is on the right track? Our number is 844-464-3353. That is 844-4-MIDDLE. And by the way, you don't have to give a 1 hour address when you call in with your state of the union. But before we get to the phones, let's meet our wonderful panel this hour. Joining us from Louisville, Kentucky, Philip Bailey, USA Today chief political correspondent. Philip, great to have you on The Middle again.
Jeremy, as always, thank you very much.
And Ray Suarez is also with us, veteran public media journalist, historian, and author. His forthcoming book is called We Are Home. It's an oral history of immigration in the 21st century. He also hosts the weekly radio show and podcast On Shifting Ground. Ray Suarez, it's great to have you on The Middle as well.
Great to be with you, Jeremy.
And before we get to the phones, I want to talk to each of you about a couple of big issues that I'm sure we're going to hear about tonight. Philip, for many people, when they think about their personal state of the union, it has to do maybe with their bank account, with employment, with the economy in general. We know that economic conditions are historically pretty good. The unemployment rate has actually been below 4% for about 2 years. Inflation has come down a lot from its peak. How central is the economy, do you think, to how people view the state of the country right now?
Well, Jeremy, look, when I'm out on the campaign trail following the presidential race, whether it's talking to folks in North Carolina, out in Georgia, my home state of Kentucky, the one thing I think that Trump supporters often say to me is that, look, when President Trump was in office, whether you like his personality or not, I had more money in my pocket. I was doing better. And there are even Biden voters who acknowledge that. At the macro level, you're right. The American economy is doing well. The stock market is up. Unemployment is down. We avoided a recession. Remember when that was always on the top of people's minds, are we going to face a recession or not? And at the same time, though, at the micro level, the way people feel about the economy, particularly who's doing better now at this point, I have seen reports that lower income Americans are certainly seeing a bounce back from inflation. But certainly, I think there's a lot of emotion behind this, more so just than facts and figures. A lot of Americans are feeling that the economy is not where it once was, particularly pre-pandemic.
How much do you think, by the way, that that is how they are actually interacting with the economy themselves versus the media coverage of the economy, and that, you know, inflation is in the news all the time where people are talking about bad things about the economy?
I think it's real and has nothing to do with the media. In fact, I think that what we saw post-pandemic was that, look, it's not just inflation rent prices are sky high. You have stories about Gen Xers, professional people who are moving back in with their parents. I think you saw during the Super Bowl some of those commercials about previous generations. You graduated from school, you bought a house, right? Your grandparents' generation did that. Your parents' generation did that. Before Gen Xers, older millennials, and particularly Gen Z voters, there is this sense that the American dream, whatever that is historically for people, is beginning to slip away. So I don't think it's the media's fault and covering the issue. I think that there are Americans who do feel like, look, compared to my previous generations, my parents, my grandparents, I don't have the same foothold that they do economically.
Ray Suarez, how important do you think the economy is for voters right now compared with all the other elections that you've covered in your career?
Well, very important. And the thing is, feeling good or feeling better is always a lagging indicator, because the memory of what $4.50 gas and $5 gas was like is very present. The fact that it's not $4.50 now, that takes a while to go away. And I think that's what Joe Biden is up against. But when it is a lagging indicator, it doesn't lag forever. And by later this year, more Americans may be feeling what those macro numbers are telling us right now.
Interestingly, though, a lot of people don't seem to remember what things were like at the peak of the pandemic, when unemployment was in the double digits, when, you know, it was just a terrible economic situation at that moment. I think we all kind of want to forget.
Congresswoman Lee Stefanik got up in front of a audience the other day and said, "Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?" And just that same day, popping up in my "Hey, remember a year ago" social media thing was a picture I took of empty shelves at my local Target. Mm. There were thousands of people a day dying from COVID during much of 2020. Did we forget? I don't know if running against 4 years ago is really the play for those guys.
Let's get to the phones and hear from some Americans who are listening and who've got their ideas. Alan is calling from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia. Alan, welcome to the middle. Go ahead. What's your State of the Union?
Thank you for taking my call. The State of the Union in Small Business America, which I own, is utter depression. We have Jerome Powell with a target of inflation of 2%.
Alan, did we lose
the
you?
The Wall Street Journal.
Go ahead.
The Wall Street Journal reported that real inflation was as high as 18% in 2022 and is now at 9%. When Umber spoke, your panel and other people, I don't know that you realize that the people realize that the numbers you're using are wrong. When you go to buy a sleeve of chicken today in the store that used to feed four people for the same amount of money you're only eating, it doesn't matter what the CPI number is. Mm-hmm.
You're feeling it, you're saying. Philip Bailey, just exactly what you were saying. Alan is feeling the pain in the economy right now.
Right, and I think this is the piece of the economy story and the economy narrative that Trump and Biden are going to be having to dive into here that's going to be most potent for folks, right? It's all where we enter the economy. Sure, inflation has gone down at the macro level, and we can talk about those numbers and figures and statistics. But if you're a small business owner and the cost of certain products have not gone down, right? If you're a lower wage person, you haven't gotten a raise in the past 5 to 6 years. If you're a middle class person and you haven't gotten a raise in X amount of years, those price increases, maybe you've put away money certain places, maybe you don't go out certain times or do certain things you used to before. There's an emotional part here that I think the president and Democrats are going to have to lean into as much as they talk about statistics. Because when you talk about the information and you don't talk about the emotion, that's very triggering, I think, to a lot of people who have gone through a lot of personal turmoil, not just economically, not just with rent costs, but again, as Ray mentioned, the pandemic had an emotional toll on people as well. It took an emotional toll out of us, the loneliness that President Biden spoke to in the State of the Union. So there was an emotional piece to this where people feel they didn't just lose economically, they've lost, you know, a lot of social connections. 1 million people died. We faced a 100-year pandemic. So I think your caller is expressing what I hear oftentimes when talking to voters in the real world and real America, which is that there's an emotional piece to this that neither party is really speaking to, but that maybe President Trump tries to exploit, I think, more so than people give him credit for.
You know, Ray Suarez, speaking of emotion, one of the issues that has brought out the most emotion in the last several months has been the situation in the Middle East, in Israel, in Gaza. And I wonder, in your experience, do you think that an issue like that, as emotional as it is for people on many sides in the United States, that that is going to be something that people think about when they go into the voting booth 8 months from now in November?
It depends on what's happening in October and November. If Election Day was tomorrow, I think it would be still a pretty salient issue. And the president tried to thread the needle tonight, both speaking to the concerns of people who are worried about the number of civilians dying in Gaza and people who worry about the safety of Israel. But boy, by November, the situation may not be in the same place.
It must be also a very big challenge for a president, any president, to, you know, when they give their State of the Union address, they're thinking about how things will be viewed all around the world in the countries that they're talking about, and also how it's going to be viewed politically at home and the decisions that they're making, whether they're good for the policy that they may believe in versus the politics at home. Ray.
Well, you know, the TV cameras cut away to Secretary of State Antony Blinken while Joe Biden was talking about those issues. Blinken has been doing very active shuttle diplomacy, trying to back-channel the Israelis into changing their approach while not leaning on them as heavily publicly. But I think that's changed. In the last week, Vice President Harris, and now the president himself, during the State of the Union address, leaned on the Israelis a lot more heavily to change tactics in Gaza.
And Jeremy, if you don't mind, I think that that's a piece right there we have to speak to, which is that that's all should be credited to those Gen Z activists and others involved in the Gaza ceasefire movement. Remember, it wasn't too long a period ago where the State Department and others were saying even using the term peace was kind of something that the United States and the administration wanted to back off of. We saw before President Biden arrived at the Capitol, hordes of young people blocking the streets, right? So again, I think that I agree with Ray that we don't know what this issue will look like 8 months from now, but I know for a lot of young people, this is their Vietnam War, right? For a lot of younger Americans who are plugged into different social media, different media outlets, not necessarily reading just mainstream US outlets, but looking and getting their news from international outlets, they're seeing this in a whole different way.
I want to let our listeners know, in case they're just tuning in, you can reach us at 844-4-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. Or you can write to us, what's your State of the Union? We're at listentothemiddle.com. Tolliver, we heard President Biden tout plenty of his administration's achievements during his speech. But then again, it's not exactly uncommon for a president to give the nation a glowing review during the State of the Union address.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless you go back to 1975, when President Gerald Ford gave a very blunt assessment of how things were going.
And I must say to you that the State of the Union is not good. Millions of Americans are out of work. Recession and inflation are eroding the money of millions more. Prices are too high and sales are too slow.
Yeah, you heard the word inflation there, Tolliver. Back in 1975, the inflation rate was 9%, around that. Ooh. And right now, by comparison, even though some people might think it's 9%, it's actually around 3% point. Yeah, exactly. By the way, make sure that you are contributing with, if you've got any money left over after the 3% inflation, to The Middle at listentothemiddle.com in any amount. We really appreciate it. It's tax deductible. And we'll be right back with more of The Middle.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just tuning in, The Middle is a national call-in show. We're focused on elevating voices from the middle, geographically, politically, philosophically, or maybe you just want to meet in the middle. This hour, we're asking, what is your state of the union? Are things getting better or worse for you, or staying the same? Tolliver, how can people reach us?
You can call us at 8444-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also write to us at listentothemiddle.com or on social media.
I'm joined by Philip Bailey, chief political correspondent for USA Today, and Ray Suarez, longtime public media journalist and author who now hosts On Shifting Ground with Ray Suarez. Before we get back to the phones, Philip, we did hear in the speech about immigration from the president and from the Republican response. The polling shows it is a top concern for voters. Why do you think that is, especially for voters who are not near the border and aren't in cities like Chicago and Denver where migrants are being bused?
Well, I think first and foremost, President Donald Trump, and I was at his Get Out to Vote rally in Greensboro, North Carolina over the weekend. President Trump is certainly hitting the buttons and hitting a nerve. He describes immigration as this invasion, right? This has been going on the political right for some time now. I think the migrant issue and how it affected blue cities, liberal cities, where you had Republican governors sending those folks into those cities has really presented a wedge issue for Democrats. But again, I think that immigration is always going to be something that our country is going to have to grapple with, right? We are a melting pot. We are a diverse, multiracial, multi-ethnic democracy. And for the first time, Jeremy, I think you and I talked about this before, that 2020 census shows that for the first time, the white population in this country is declining. So whatever the founders may have envisioned, I don't know if they envisioned this sort of country. We are becoming that multiracial democracy, mm-hmm. not 5 years from now, 10, 15, 20, 50 years from now. It's here. States like Georgia are majority minority now. Cities, states like North Carolina are becoming no longer the Jesse Helms Southern fried politics. They're becoming more diverse, right? So the browning of America is here. And I think that's something that's very alarming to a certain segment of the population and those who are very supportive of President Trump.
So Ray Suarez, why do you think it's so difficult, given that this is such a top issue for so many people in this country, including immigrants, that nothing has been able to get done comprehensively since the 1980s?
Well, the gears in our politics are totally seized up. Nothing of any consequence can move through the Congress right now. But the discourse over this issue is astonishing and bizarre to me. The Republicans have been on full blast assault for the last year and a half without a moment's let up. And the Democratic response to that, I don't even know what it is. It's not that I don't know how to describe it. I don't even know what it is. When Republicans portray the border as out of control and the country being swamped by millions of new arrivals, what is the Democratic response? No, it's not. There's a system at the border. Those people are not sneaking across in the main. They're coming across the border and basically saying, here I am, to men in uniform and women in uniform, getting their names taken down, getting their documents scanned, getting hearing dates. You would never know any of this from the way we're talking about immigration right now. You would never have any idea what's really going on in the border. So the way we're talking about it right now is very affecting to people in Ohio and the Dakotas and Washington State, because they are, you know, 1,500 miles away from the southern border and only believe what they hear from people they believe. I think the Democratic response to the Republican assault on the way the Biden administration is handling immigration, it's not just inadequate, it's missing in action. It's amazing.
Let's go to Kate, who is calling from New Jersey. Kate, welcome to the middle. Go ahead. What's your State of the Union?
Thank you. I'm a 78-year-old widow of a World War II hero. I feel I'm one of the forgotten Americans today. During COVID, Mr. Biden told tenants they did not have to pay their rent. And for 2 years, the tenant of the single unit that I rent out, which is my only support with my Social Security and a small Army pension, during that two-year period, I was not paid any rent or any utilities by a tenant. All I had to do, the Biden government said, was apply for a program which would reimburse me. I applied to 11 of these programs. None of them worked. One paid less than half of the $56,630 that I'm owed for that two-year period. Ever since then, for the last 2 or 3 years, I've been writing to Mr. Biden, to Jill Biden, to Mr. Schumer, to every senator and congressperson there is, straight up and down from federal level down to my local people. I worked in the Senate, by the way, in the 70s for Sam Ervin on the up to the Watergate hearings, although our subcommittee on separation of powers of the Committee on the Judiciary was not involved. So I know how the government works, but this was a screw-up of the worst kind. And like many Americans now, we're being told everything is getting better. Well, I know Mr. Biden's trying, but
You feel things are not getting better. Right. Things are not getting better for you, and you're not being treated right. Just quickly, Kate, are you planning to vote for Donald Trump in the fall as a result of this?
Good God, no.
Okay. All right, Kate. Philip, go ahead. Your thoughts.
That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the emotional piece of this, is that, okay, maybe things statistically are getting better for some people now, but at the time, what did I go through? That the Biden administration program that was supposed to offset, you know, that rent crisis for not just tenants, but also landlords, a lot of that just got stuck with state governments and local governments and never got to the people who actually needed it. But that comment she made just there, this is what we're facing. We have two gentlemen, both born before the United Nations was even formed, who have their own issues with unpopularity in their own bases. And then when you ask them, well, are you going to vote for Donald Trump? Well, absolutely not, right? And I think we are going to see a race to the bottom in a lot of ways in this contest this year. This is the rematch that nobody wanted between two gentlemen who have a lot of problems with their own respective party bases. And I think, again, not just the policy solution, not just the policy prescription, but what is the emotional reparation? People who lost their businesses, who haven't been paid in 2-3 years as a result of not just COVID, but the economic crisis that followed it.
Well, and Ray Suarez, let me ask you about that. The idea that these two people that are now going to be the candidates for the major parties running for president are people that we've seen in polls most people don't want as their candidates. That must weigh on how people view the state of the country right now as well.
Oh, sure. And I think some of these perceptions will sharpen as we approach November, and you may have a lot of people sitting it out, and how the two parties manage that and respond to that and try to make an counter argument to that will be fascinating to see, because it's not just I'm for this person and I'm against this person. A lot of people are going to be alienated from the process altogether.
Let's go to Roberto, who's calling from Houston, Texas. Roberto, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm 75, retired teacher. I'm very proud of the Gen Z for bringing up for having as an issue the Israeli-Palestinian situation. I call it genocide. And as such, I think the reparations should be brought up, and it should be We should persist in that. Unfortunately, the United States, since World War I, has been the moral leader worldwide, and we're losing that leadership because of this issue in particular. So, I like your point of view.
Yeah, Roberto, let me ask you this. So you're saying we're losing the moral issue, but you're also very proud of Gen Z, the future of the United States. So how do you feel when you put those two things together about the state of the union?
Well, unfortunately, Gen Z has no power other than demonstrating in the streets and, of course, without committing violence. But they're powerless, and I'm not sure how many there are as far as when it comes to voting, because I also know that both Trump and Biden, see, Biden came too late, I think, to have this moral leadership role. He was very impressive tonight, don't get me wrong. It took him five months.
Sorry, Roberto, let me stop you there because I want to go to Ray Suarez on that. I'm sure we're going to hear about that. We've been hearing about this on other shows as well, the issue of Israel-Gaza. It is certainly top of mind for a lot of people, and how the U.S. and how the Biden administration responds to it.
You know, this is one of the United States' oldest alliances. The United States was one of the first nations on the planet to recognize the existence of the State of Israel when it was proclaimed in 1948. Through the wars, 1948, 1957, 1956, 1967, 1974, the United States was stalwart in backing Israel. So it only follows that a Democrat especially is not going to call out this country in a publicly humiliating way, even though there's bad blood and a bad history between Benjamin Netanyahu and Joe Biden. So you get behind the scenes pressure. But that's not enough for Americans who are watching and saying, why aren't we making Israel stop? And so Joe Biden, the inheritor, not of 1 year or 2 years, but 70 years of American policy, now is kind of stuck with it. And we're seeing only now that tens of thousands of civilians have died that the United States is starting to show its teeth on this issue.
Again, our number is 844-4-MIDDLE. That is 844-464-3353. We're taking your calls, asking you what is your state of the union. And let's go to Ardmore, Pennsylvania. And Mike is joining us. Mike, what's your state of the union?
Thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, I feel hopefully optimistic, although I know that there's things that I can't control with the price of food, the price of gas, insurance rates, rates to take out a mortgage, a loan, credit card rates. I don't know if Biden was able to get those fees on those credit cards for overdrafts and late fees fixed, but they have made hundreds of billions, I'm sure, these collective companies in his state of Delaware that you mentioned a lot. You know, I feel like 30 years ago he might have had a shot here, and It's tough. I mean, politics was much different. And
you're saying you're having still a very difficult time just affording things, making ends meet because of the higher prices.
Construction services, price of gas are hitting me just today. Yeah.
Hmm. Does it feel like it's getting any better as you see the numbers, the overall numbers of inflation come down? Does it feel like it's getting better?
It doesn't feel like it's coming down, though. I don't know where it's coming down. I haven't felt it yet. And the prices are, I just did some looking at old books, and during the mean time of COVID, it's the same price that I'm paying right now.
Mike, thank you so much for that call. Philip Bailey, you know, it sounds like we've heard from a couple of people that they want Biden to be successful here, but they're not seeing it.
Yeah, and think about, again, folks who had to dip into their savings, right, during, the hike of prices. Think about folks who maybe had a kid who they wanted to send to a certain program, you know, to learn, play the violin, and they couldn't let them do that, right? Like, everyone, something was taken from folks in this time period. And even if prices and things are getting better, people don't feel like, well, I haven't been made whole from that last situation that I suffered from. And I think that is Joe Biden's big task here is plugging into this narrative, talking about student loan debt relief, talking about the credit cards, talking about the price of insulin. But also, I think the worry for the Biden campaign is I think they're going to have a pretty actually easy time for Biden to frame Donald Trump and some of the comments he's made, some of these very draconian, almost authoritarian policies that he's advocating for. The real problem for the Biden campaign I'm waiting to see here is how are they going to deal with these third party candidates? Because in poll after poll, Biden and Trump are pretty much even. In fact, I think over these past couple of days, since the primary is now basically over, we see Biden scooting just a little bit ahead of Trump for the first time in months, even though he's still very unpopular in a lot of the key swing states. But when you put these other third party candidates in, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Cornel West, Jill Stein, then you begin to see President Trump's numbers do better, not because necessarily those voters are going to Trump, but a lot of those younger voters who have more progressive, hard-boiled progressive politics, they're going to these alternatives saying, I don't have affinity for either party. Real quick, Belle Townsend, a young woman who I interviewed who grew up in Western Kentucky, rural Western Kentucky, is a Southern Baptist, never heard of the Palestinian crisis growing up, actually learned about it via One Direction, right, as a preteen. Right, the band One Direction, right. Sorry, Harry Styles and them. And she says that, like, she would never vote for a Donald Trump. But she said, you know, Joe Biden has too much blood on his hands. And I do wonder, to Ray's point, has too much blood been spilled for Joe Biden to clean it up with any policy or ceasefire?
Let's go to Dan in Fort Worth, Texas. Dan, go ahead. What's your State of the Union?
Hey, I feel like our union is divided all the way around. Just in general, it's divided. I feel like we have a lot of fake problems that we are dealing with, and the real problems, the underlying problems, we're dancing around.
What would you consider a fake problem, and what's a real problem?
A fake problem. A woman takes her son to a veterinarian because he identifies as a cat, but she's not going to press charges because the veterinarian won't treat him, but that's not fair to the child.
I hadn't heard about that one, but what's a real problem, Dan? What do you think we should be focused on?
We should be focused on homelessness. We should be focused on water conservation. We should be focused on not just generating food, but feeding hungry Americans. I get it. You know, we talk about immigration. We talk about all these different things. We have an immigration process, and I don't think that's the issue. I don't think anybody has an issue with people coming into this country. I think people have an issue with people skipping line. There are families who have gone through the process and waited their turn, and now there's other people claiming asylum, which there are probably some who qualify. But the vast majority of people, it's a quick check, and, you know, I get it. It is what it is.
Yeah, well, Dan, let me take that to Ray Suarez, because one thing you said at the beginning there is that we're very divided, which is something, Ray, that, you know, does make you think about the state of the union. And if we're divided, there's not much of a union.
Look, I've been covering politics a long time, and I've been a reporter a long time. I was even old enough to be in college when Gerald Ford gave that speech that Tolliver played
the excerpt of.
So right. I've been at this a long time. And I've never seen the country as divided as this since the Vietnam War. And, you know, it's discouraging. It's discouraging in part because the practice of politics, it seems like we've lost our civic muscles. Our leaders don't know how to talk to us about any of our common problems in a realistic way. Mm-hmm. So they talk about them, as one of our callers noted, in a fake way.
Right.
And it doesn't get to the core of the issue, and it doesn't give the people any feeling like they've got skin in this.
Yeah. You know, Tolliver, there are always promises in the State of the Union address, but actually sometimes they do get fulfilled.
Yeah, this is actually the 1964 address by President Lyndon Johnson.
And this administration today, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty in America.
Johnson debuted that term, war on poverty, during the speech and followed it by creating the food stamp program and Medicare and Medicaid, all of which survive to this day and all of which my family have used. Look at that.
All right. Yeah, that's great. And we will be back with more of The Middle.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, Symbiotica.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just joining us, we're asking you what your State of the Union is. How do you think the nation is currently faring with jobs, inflation, or any of the major issues we face? You can call us at 844-4MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. Or you can reach out to us at listentothemiddle.com. Our guests are Philip Bailey, chief political correspondent for USA Today, and Ray Suarez, longtime journalist and author of the upcoming book, We Are Home, which is about immigrants in the 21st century. Let's get to the phones and Gail, who is in Atlanta, Georgia. Gail, welcome to The Middle. What is your State of the Union?
I felt that President Biden did very well. I'm an African-American woman, and I'm a moderate Democrat. And I felt that he spoke invigoratingly on a host of very important topics.
And are things going well for you? How would you describe your State of the Union?
My State of the Union is I'm more hopeful today than I have been in a long time.
Great. Well, Gail, thank you so much for that call. Yeah, that's good to hear. And let me get to Mike, who is in Indianapolis. Mike, what's your State of the Union?
It's night, but my wife and I are both senior citizens, so we both have a pension and Social Security. And so our State of the Union is pretty good, especially since that insulin got capped and other medicines are being capped. So that's the good thing. Hmm. But what I'd like to ask your specialist there, your commentator, mm-hmm. I'm sure he has talked to senior citizens everywhere that own their own homes. And one of the big issues is when gentrification, when there's development in our area, it makes the surrounding existing homes, not the new homes they build, but the homes that are already there before the new development, your property value goes up, so your property tax go up, but you're on a fixed income. And what I don't understand is when they use federal dollars or federal programs, tax breaks, whatever they get, credits, why doesn't the federal government say, okay, developer, we're giving you a tax break, so you have to donate money to the local community development corporation so that they can have monies to help pay for all the whatever the difference in the tax goes up, that for senior citizens and longtime residents, that money will go to pay that difference. You don't have to pay our taxes, but the difference that new development is creating. And it's so many senior citizens, I'm telling you, if you talk to them, that's one of their top three issues. But it never comes up on the national
Right. Well,
national
Mike,
things when they talk about gentrification.
I'm glad you,
and so I wonder what right, Mr. Suarez thinks about that.
I'm glad you brought that up. The question of Ray Suarez, people that are on fixed incomes, a senior citizen who really benefited from the insulin cap and is worried about costs of living going up because of all kinds of things, including gentrification.
A lot of senior citizens also got a sizable COLA bump on their Social Security checks because of high inflation. But it didn't keep up with everything, obviously. In a lot of jurisdictions around the country, there's something called a homestead credit. So senior citizens get a little bit of a break on their real estate taxes. I guess in Indianapolis, they don't have that. So yeah, when there is gentrification, it becomes more expensive. But you know, the value of your house is going up too. So, you know, you lose on one in one place and you gain in another.
Right.
That house is worth more money now, and all the surrounding real estate is as well. So I don't know.
Unless you're renting. Unless you're renting.
You got to come up with that tax every 6 months. Sure.
Right. Right. Let's go to Laverne, who is in Huntington Beach, California, in Southern California. Laverne, welcome to the middle. What about you? What's your state of the union?
Well, my state of the union is I'm a senior citizen, and recently retired community college instructor, and I suddenly, with my decreased income, had my Social Security benefit that I'd been receiving cut off because I allegedly was earning too much. Can't even get through the Social Security phone system to try to find out why that is.
Philip Bailey, another call there talking about the cost of living and the difficulty with just sort of interacting with the government.
Look, at the end of both spectrums, right, since we're talking about age so much in this presidential cycle, on the older end, you're hearing Americans say, look, I'm living on Social Security, costs of things are still going up, and I live on a fixed income, where is my relief? Go down 60 years to the other end of our generations, younger Americans saying the cost of college, the cost of basically starting a business, I'm not even going to get access. I don't even believe I'm going to get Social Security, right? I'll tell you this, Jeremy, though. I think the Biden campaign is going to sell a certain story over the summer and really lean into some of these issues and talk about some of the policies that they've adopted and some of the wins that they've accrued. And I think I say that because I have a friend who's a civil rights attorney, and his sister-in-law gave him a phone call, and she's on the phone crying, weeping, because her student loans were forgiven. I don't know what that amount was, but it certainly was enough to engender that emotional response. There's an issue there that I think the Biden administration is going to really lean into. And I think on the other end for President Trump, the question is, other than the anger part, can he pivot? He's never had to really pivot to middle of the road voters. We see here that Nikki Haley was able to rake in a significant portion of moderate, old school George H.W. style, George H.W. Bush style voters in the Republican Party. Can Trump get those people? So just like Biden has a problem with Gaza and younger people and all the folks, I see a lot of people responding here who didn't like his comment of calling the gentleman illegal, right? Using that phrase during the State of the Union speech. That certainly has gotten a lot of left-leaning congresspeople and others upset. Well, guess what? Donald Trump also has a problem too. So when it comes to these economic issues, who can sell that issue? Who can sell voters, particularly unplugged voters who are feeling the same way your callers are?
Or voters in the middle. Let's go to Kenneth, who is in Chicago. Kenneth, what about you? What's your State of the Union?
Well, after listening to President Biden's speech, you know, as a pretty young guy myself, I don't really lean left or right. But after listening to it, it kind of gave me like a sense of hope for the country going forward, you know. I know times are tough right now, but I just like after listening to him, it might seem kind of silly, but like I feel like he made a lot of good points. And, you know, I don't really feel that he's just out of touch, as Senator Katie said. I thought that was a little silly when she brought up TikTok, how that was like deemed a point like to swindle like young Americans and corrupt us. I just think that's kind of silly to say. Mm-hmm. Especially like with the information that is available on TikTok and like, you know, it's up to the people of the United States to inform themselves and just develop a better like state of mind. And I feel like, you know, TikTok can be a very good platform for that.
We actually did an entire show about TikTok. And by the way, you're talking there about, Tolliver, you loved that one because...
I can't get enough.
You love TikTok. He's talking, by the way, about... he said Senator Katie. He's talking about Senator Katie Britt, who is the Republican from Alabama, who delivered the Republican response to the State of the Union. Let's get another caller in here. Katie is in Denver, Colorado. Katie, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
I guess I would just like to add that as a younger voter who's registered independent, I don't necessarily vote on politics. I vote on the representative. So I think it's going to be more important as younger generations like myself vote, hopefully, that we don't vote based on party politics. We vote representatives in that will reach across the aisle in order to get stuff done, because I feel like that's where a lot of the stalemate is nowadays, is it's Democrats versus Republicans, not necessarily voting across the aisle in order to get issues and bills moved through to fix our country.
So you'd like to see people work together, but what about you personally right now? How are things going for you?
As someone who is college educated in Denver, Colorado, it's been hard for me to find a job, hard for me to afford living with one job, hard for me to afford health care, just general cost of living, friends paying off their student loans still when they have six-figure incomes. It's just kind of ridiculous to me how, as a, you know, an economics major even, I understand inflation and all of that, but it's pretty bad to me that as someone who works two jobs and is educated, still cannot afford to live.
Katie, I really appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling in. And Ray Suarez, I've been thinking about the pandemic was so difficult for everybody, but it's that younger generation that was either in high school or just getting out of college or in college and, you know, had to be at home and away from their social setting and all of that, and then has now got a difficulty getting a job and gaining an income. It's very difficult for that group of people in this country.
My youngest daughter did the last year and a half of her college education on a laptop. Mm-hmm. And by the time her bizarre college graduation came, as we sat distanced, scattered out along an enormous football field, she was pretty pissed off and very, very discouraged about the state of things. She's angry. She's a little disaffected. I'm trying to, encourage her, not just because I want an encouraged young daughter, but because I think optimism is better than trashing everything the way it is. It doesn't give you much traction on making anything better. But I hear you. I mean, when you're paying literally 10 times what your parents and grandparents paid to go to college, and then they're condescending to you and saying, come on, suck it up. If you borrowed money, you ought to pay for it. Yeah, when college costs 11 times as much as it did 40 years ago, it's not really a response to what they're going through. It's not a realistic response.
And Jeremy, especially coming, I mean, think about what your average 24-year-old American has gone through. Not just a 100-year pandemic, right? But now there are these existential crises that they're facing. Not just, you know, our basic institutions and the fate of democracy, but climate change. And for conservative-minded young people, the debt. So, you know, Ray is right. Lecturing to these younger voters, my baby cousins, basically, and telling them, oh, you should pay your debts. And they look at the older generation and say, wait, baby boomers, you put everything on a credit card, every war, every tax cut, everything that you ever wanted, you put on America's credit card. And again, having an 81-year-old president and a 77-year-old former president running against each other, a lot of younger voters tell me, Jeremy, neither one of these men is going to have to deal with the consequences of these issues 10, 20, 15 years from now. It's going to be your 20-year-old who's going to be 35, 40, et cetera. So that's the, I think there is a generational rebellion here. It could be in the form of a third party. It could be in the form of uncommitted. But these younger folks, and maybe this is a conversation that'll be delayed until 2028, but the Gen X on down American voter and activist has a reckoning with this country. And they're, PO'd is not the word that I hear from them.
Let's go to Frank, who's in Houston. Frank, go ahead. Welcome to the middle. What's your state of the union?
Oh, well, you gentlemen have just said it for me. To me, the issue is debt, starting with student debt. And President Biden, several months back, had a proposal for forgiveness of student debt, and the Supreme Court struck it down. And then President Biden came back with an amended proposal of some sort, which I'd be quite interested to see how that fares during this election year. And he also made another statement about credit card late fees. They upped to $30, and he's talking, I don't know by what means, but to bring them down to $8. But to me, this is the big issue facing not just young people, but the reproduction of American society itself.
Debt. Yeah, thank
like
you.
Cholesterol.
Frank. Right. Frank, thank you for that. By the way, on the issue of the fees, I do remember President Biden saying in a previous State of the Union that he was going to get rid of those fees at the hotels for the resort fee and the hotels that aren't even resorts. But I will tell you, they're still there. They're still there right now. Let's get to one more here. Lexi, who is in Louisiana. Lexi, go ahead. Welcome to the middle.
Hey, so my State of the Union, as a young voter, I think right now it's super important that we look at this State of the Union as this is what we're going to see for the next 4 years, right? And so as somebody who's recently graduated college and, like, looking at, you know, the economy and, like, I again, can't afford to live on the money that I'm making as a college-educated person, it's so important to look at the economy, but also, like, can we find a president who's going to be able to reach across the aisle? That's been echoed so many times, and as a young voter, I'm like, I just need some sort of some ounce of hope. I feel like my optimism hasn't been crushed yet as a young person. So hopefully, we can get that in the 2024 election.
And do you feel like you're hearing that now from either Biden or Trump, of somebody who's willing to work across the aisle?
I think so. Yes, I think we're seeing more of that with President Biden. But that's just maybe that is his like young person, like, I want to say swagger, but like not really. But I think he is able to appeal to young people more, but maybe it's just that President Trump comes across harsher. I don't know. I associate President Trump with like my parents' generation. So maybe that's the sort of the cross there. But I think President Biden has that hope that a lot of young people like.
Lexi, thank you so much for that call. You know, Ray, that sort of brings me to something that I wanted to ask you about, which is we've been hearing the candidates, as the campaign has been going on, going after their bases. Now we're getting into the general election. Are people going to be appealing to the middle, talking about working across party lines and getting things done?
Well, if you've been watching President Trump's speeches, it doesn't look like it. It looks like he's running a base strategy and not really working very hard on increasing the appeal or the range of appeal among Americans. Joe Biden, with this speech tonight, you heard him trying to hit a lot of different points. If you were foreign policy heavy, you got what you wanted there. If you were worried about the price of insulin or college loans, you got what you wanted there. Union members heard some encouragement. It seems like he's trying to broaden the argument in a way that we haven't heard from his Republican opponent yet.
Okay, we have time now, Tolliver, for a quiz for our guests.
That's right. All right, which president gave the most State of the Union addresses?
Reagan, Madison, FDR, or Truman? Jump in when you're ready.
Well, it would have to be FDR, no?
I didn't even know.
I thought it was going to be a trick question there, Tolliver.
That's why I hesitated. Right. That's why I hesitated. Right.
The early presidents just sent a letter.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking.
Didn't give any. Make it easy.
Yeah.
All right.
Congratulations.
Well, good. We end on a high note there. And of course, people can still call in at 844-4-MIDDLE, 844-464-3353, or go to listentothemiddle.com. Leave us a message if you didn't make it onto the show, and we'll play some of that next week. I want to thank my guest, Ray Suarez, host of On Shifting Ground with Ray Suarez, and author of the upcoming book, We Are Home, Becoming American in the 21st Century. Ray, thank you so much for being on the show.
Great to talk to you.
And Pulitzer Prize-winning USA Today chief political correspondent Philip Bailey. Thanks, as always, Philip.
Jay, man, thank you.
And Tolliver, what do we have planned for next week on The Middle?
And we'll be tackling a topic that we've heard time and time again from our own listeners. Is it time for a strong third party in the United States? You can reach out at 844-4-MIDDLE.
That's 844-464-3353, or you can write in at listentothemiddle.com, or you can also sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Sign up for our weekly newsletter. The Middle is brought to you by Longnook Media, distributed by Illinois Public Media in Urbana, Illinois, and produced by Joanne Jennings, Harrison Patino, John Barth, and Danny Alexander. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Our theme music was composed by Andrew Haig. Thanks to our entire team for doing a special late edition of The Middle this week. Thanks to Nashville Public Radio, iHeartMedia, and the more than 400 public radio stations making it possible for people across the country to listen to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. I'll talk to you next week.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.